following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
We're going to have Bill and Joy come up and share with us for our final session. So, Bill and Joy.
I meant to have these keys here the whole time. Aren't these the coolest keys ever? See these old dark ones? They come from Israel. It's one of my favorite places to take people for souvenirs there. But I forgot to bring them. But Bethany, I forgot to gather them myself. So I called back and Bethany and Jeff brought them out. So anyway, they always speak to me about them. Hey, how many of you have been to every one of these conferences? Mike and Susie? Did we ever miss a conference? Were we ever out of town for one? I think we... One, no, a few. I was going to write you a poem, Mike, but I'm not sure I can do that now. Anybody else been to everyone? How many been to all of them out here in the desert? There were some that we did at Lake San Marcos and out here. You guys have just been such an amazing team, and we are so, so grateful for you. I want to share a song with you guys that I don't think I shared it last year. It's one of those that has been in the process of being written for Joy for about a year, and I wanted to share it today, so I think I'm going to be able to do that right here. Now, would you guys please thank our hosts, the Fergusons, too, who have made this fun? And again, thank the Cronins together. Where are you guys now? You got to stand up. Are you in the room? Where? Right back there. Thank you, Aaron and Brianna. I don't know if Brianna is with the kids or not, but thank you for coming to serve us. And it's been great worship. We are in the beginning of a worship transition back home, as many of you knew was going on, and that decision has been made, and Michael Landingham, I know him well, is going to be leading worship. They live out in Redlands, and they're going to stay in Redlands for a while to see. It's going to be kind of a six-month season while we just kind of get to know each other, but he's led worship with us a couple of times over the last few months. And so I'm excited to get back and just see what God's doing. So I think over this next month, Jesse was saying that it looks like Shannon and Michael will be co-leading together. And it's going to be a great new season for us, too. I'm looking forward to going through that together. So you guys know some of the goofy songs that I've written for Joy. This is not a goofy one. It's... you know, you enter those seasons of your life where I always say at every anniversary, there's this one song I wrote Joy years ago called 25 More, and it was on our 25th wedding anniversary, and the line in it is, if God will say yes to my humble request, I'd just like 25 more. Oh. But every year that changes, so on our 46, all I want is 46 more, and... will be Abraham and Sarah at that point, but this is kind of written more towards, you know, the senior years in our life together, and I'm there might be some emotional pauses in the middle of this. When my hair turns gray and my knees get weak, if I lose my way, will you still walk with me? When my memory fades, as the day draws near, will you walk with me in the golden years? When the house is small and the kids have flown. Let me go back. That's not what it says. It says this. When the house grows still because the kids have flown, and now they think we're wise, 'cause they have some kids of their own. And when our table's small and there's just room for two, just like when we began, and it was just me and you,
Archie.
Round and round and round the sun, one by one by one, our days became this life, my friend, my love. My precious wife. And I recall that day, not so long ago, your daddy walked you down the aisle. And I sang our song to you. It was the 3rd of June, a sweet, sweet summer day, and we both said I do, and we were on our way, round and round the sun, one by one by one. Even in our storms, our God has been so true. And even in our silly wars, He's seen His love break through. So when I remember those kids back on their wedding day, and I recall the way you looked at me, you still take my breath away. So when my hair turns gray, as that day draws near, will you please walk with me in the golden years? Will you please walk with me, my dear, in these golden years? I knew that would happen, but I didn't know that would happen so much. But Joy, come on up here. Would you welcome the Queen of Refuge? Oh, yes. That's your mic right there.
That's mine?
Yeah, it's yours.
How come you have all your stuff in front of it?
I'm going to rewrite that song. we already thanked a lot of the people that we wanted to thank up here together, and it really did start with Mike and Susie, who took on the vision for this, and they do this so quietly and so humbly and never ask for any applause and always squirm a little bit when that applause comes. But Mike and Susie, you guys have been life changers. You really have. There are so many couples that found strength because of this that you prepared and the stage that you set for truth to be shared with couples. And people have walked in here in challenges and walked out with solutions. And not that life ever got a whole lot easier, but thank you guys again. Can we thank them one more time for that? And all the whole team, obviously. But
you know, you all think that Bill's gift is music and all that stuff, but his number one gift is making people cry. So
And I've made her cry a lot, and for different reasons too. Summit Church, would you guys stand up? We want to thank you again for being here. Yeah. I know that Daniel and Laura had to go back, but we love you guys, and it's always fun once or twice a year to get up there and hang out with you guys in Fontana. Great, great church up on the, kind of if you're on I-15 going up towards Vegas, they're not far from there. You should visit them sometime. Into the Light. Where's all the Into the Light people? Right there. Thank you, guys. Bless you. Thanks for being a part of this. And somebody is from Calvary Downey. Who's from Calvary Downey? Who? Are you still here? Well, you couldn't answer the question, right? Any other churches have joined us? Would you stand up and tell us where you're from?
They all went back.
Oh, okay, they went back. And I want to, and we didn't do this, I'm going to embarrass them, but I want to introduce you to our neighbors. They're two doors down from us. This is Bob and Jeannie Lunny right here. Would you guys, yeah, stand up. Yeah, yeah. You know when a house gets empty in your neighborhood, and you just go, oh Lord, who's going to move in there? Who's it going to be? Well, it was Jeannie's mom and dad who had lived there, and they went to be with Jesus, and it's an amazingly wonderful story that we had a little tiny something to do with, but we were thrilled when Bob and Jeannie moved into the house, and so it's great to have you in this neighborhood and this family too, so welcome. And I think that's it, And Jesse, thank you so much for dropping all that you were doing and coming out here to make this work. And so good. And I want to run through some of the highlights, and maybe you've got some too. But Peyton and Andrea, when they talked about the covenant key, wasn't that great?
Yeah, we don't need to go that next line. Let's not.
They talked to us about great dental hygiene, and I think that was an important thing. By the way, if you're ever looking for a comeback, how many of you know that there is a way to put shaving cream into a toothpaste tube? Did anybody know that? And just leave it where it needs to be? No. Okay. I thought that would be funnier than it was. But Andrea shared with us that we're all covenant breakers, and we need to be great forgivers, because we've all married a broken person. Every single one of us, we've married broken people. They talked about fighting is natural, forgiving is supernatural. I hear little sound bites like that. I just want to say, bam, that's good. That since we're all sinners and we all know how to fight, fighting is natural, but forgiving is supernatural. Covenant, Peyton said, means I'm not going anywhere. And I'm not going anywhere.
Me
and
either.
We determined that
on the Lord takes me.
On that wedding day. I'll let you go to heaven, but don't hurry, that, okay? And God has shown us how to I love that thing he shared about. If God could have given up and walked away from a rebellious human race, but if he'd done that, we'd know nothing about love. We'd know nothing about loving covenant breakers, because that's all that God is love. Then Geoff and Beth Annie talked about the conversation and the conflict keys, and it was stop, look, and listen. Joy's she's really good at that. She's so much better at listening. I am just the dog that's chasing the squirrels all day long. But I love this. I love their line too, about let them know you care by running upstairs. Was that it? Let them know you care by the stare, by locking eyes and stop and stare. And Beth, I can't believe Bethany said this. Bethany said, stop and stare, stop, look and stare, even if you don't care. That was honest. And I wanted to ask you, Bethany, do you know who was the first round draft pick for the last round? After she married Jeff, she learned all the names of the angels at that season. What's that?
I had to get an angel hat.
Oh, it's all about the hat, all about the fashion. And then side by side and face to face, that was really good. Developing the negatives into positives. And then the warning, she said, my daughter said this. She said, at certain times, guys, certain times of the month, just keep it to yourself. Just keep it to yourself. Wait a week. That's valuable stuff. The calling key that Alan and Billy talked about, they taught us about amazing pizza pairings and discovering your mission, and you went through that worksheet about. By the way, did anybody else come up with clever, unusual super name heroes? Raise your hand, way back there. Yeah, Deborah. Okay, while you look for that one over here, Jeannie, what was your name for Bob? The storm calmer, quiet spirit. Yeah. What was yours for Jeannie, Bob?
Red Angel.
Red Angel. These are good. Okay. Yeah. Back there, Deborah.
Mine was faithful, caring man.
Faithful, caring man. All right. Superhero. Yes. Over here.
Magnanimous man.
Magnanimous man. Yeah. Steve.
True blue.
True blue. Anybody else? The Great Protector, yeah, true. Worshipper, all right. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Wonderful Woman, a take on Wonder Woman, Wonderful Woman. Well, keep doing that, and keep using that key to discover, to, as you bundle up, listen carefully, as you bundle up those strengths, that the whole point of that was to help you guys take a closer look at all that you already have, and the passions you have, the drives and the talents, even the hobbies, and look at one another and say, what could we do with all of this that would be just a very wonderful, unique ministry on that God's already set us up for and put us in the right places, neighborhoods and all that. So I can't wait to see what comes out of that. But the last key this morning is the master key. And Joy is going to get us started on this discussion on the master key.
You're staying here, right?
Yeah.
You can stay.
I'll stay right here.
So that you can interject and I'll interrupt me. So... I just don't want you to have to do it from a distance, you know? I first of all, just wanted to say, let me say this. I wasn't going to put it in here just to save time, but, you know, Bill and I study really differently.
Oh, my.
So differently. And I want to be like Bethany and Jeff when I grow up. I would love to do it that way, but... Bill is one who he gets his message this morning, and I'm one who what direction are we going in? I'd like to know at least last week, just get me in a direction I can do that. And it comes across as a negative, and yet the positive of that is that because of that frustration for me, and I'm sure I'm a frustration to him on the way that, can you give me an idea? Can you let me know what's going on? How about a little nugget? You know, and it's annoying to him. And for me, it's very frustrating to have to keep asking that stuff and then on the night before going, okay, so do we have a direction?
And I'm a night person that comes alive at night,
yeah.
And then the shades go down on yes. Joy in terms of yes. that kind of connection.
So the positive in this is, even though it's a frustration for me, and I can only speak for myself because I don't know how Bill really truly feels. He's never expressed it. But
we'll see where this goes.
The positive of that is that. Because God put us together, I have the opportunity to have a gift of faith in my life. I have faith and trust in the Lord that whatever I'm saying is going to be what God wants me to say. Because if you, on the spur of the moment, ask me what my name is, I will tell you something like, give me a minute, I know this one, you know? Because I just have to think before I talk. So anyway, that's a negative that has turned to a positive, and I am thankful for
that's
that.
That's true. I can see that, a gift of faith, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So moving right along. Okay, so I just wanted to say a thank you to our prayer team. I really want to say a thank you to our prayer team because... Most of you don't know who those people are. Our prayer team, without them, this gathering would be simply a beautifully put together event. Just all that would be. I saw, as I was putting this together, I saw in my mind the prayer team, those here and those that are at home in Huntington Beach are the warriors who are outside. They're the warriors who are outside. You all know how, when was it, Old Testament times, when the fighters, the warriors would be, everybody would be in the center, and there would be people on the outside with their big, long shields, and they would encircle the whole group, and then some of them would also put one on top. So the whole group moved as one, because of the shield of faith that was around them. They had faith in those that were protecting them because they had the shield of faith there. So I got a picture of the prayer team around this room with their shields in place and over our heads, so that when you're in here, you are... God is speaking to you, and he has a great work for you to do. And he's ministering into your lives. And so, and they take that shield.
But and I think to interject this there too, I think that has been sort of the, in military terms, the air cover that we've had. There has been a lot of spiritual warfare that has gone on, even getting here and through the days that we've been here. Joy and I were here several days mm-hmm. before celebrating our anniversary. And, two days after our anniversary, and I realized we had both decided we're not going to do gifts, we're just going to go away, but it would have been a really great idea for me to put together a happy anniversary card for my wife on our anniversary, and I didn't think about it until two
that's
days
a
after.
Thought.
First time ever that's happened. But
I wasn't going to bring that up. I was protecting you.
Because you're a gracious woman. But there really has been a lot of spiritual warfare. What I mentioned yesterday, and something else I might mention in a little bit, but it has been that prayer cover, that Air Force prayer force that's been over
us. Well, yeah, and all around us as well. So they take on the shield of faith on our behalf. They ward off the fiery darts of the enemy so that we can hear and we can respond to the work of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. It's the Holy Spirit that's at work in your life right now. It's the Holy Spirit that's doing his work in here. He's using people to say words up here, but he is speaking to your heart and ministering to you, each one of you personally, because we have that protection around us and we can receive that word from the Lord. So they look for no glory. The prayer team looks for no glory. The glory belongs to the Lord. They know it and you know it, and they don't take any of the glory. When you leave this place, so here's a homework assignment. When you leave this place, take this lesson of prayer warriors and become one. A prayer warrior for your spouse and other marriages around you. Before you leave your table, I would love it, and God would love it, and God said you have to do this. So you have to get the name of another couple at your table and exchange those names. You don't have to get any more information. If people don't want to give out any more information, that's okay, just names. And take it home with you and pray for that couple all year and bring that name back with you when you all come to the retreat next year and see what God has done, because we've had people praying for us. So that's one of the neat things about our prayer team, and we're so excited about that. So just wanted to give a shout out to them. And so... am I going on? Oh, okay. As Bill and I were walking around here, as you know, we used to live here, and as we were walking around on the one day that we walked together, we noticed the smoke trees out there, and I don't know if you've been walking around the smoke trees. They're called smoke trees because when they're growing up, they look like puffs of smoke. And so that's how they got their name. But the thing about the smoke tree, it kind of puts something in my mind. It put in my mind James 4:14. James 4:14, what is life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And so that reminded me of that. And I'm reminded that marriage is only for a time. It's only for a time. There is going to be a day when your marriage will be over. And that is the day that one of us goes to be with the Lord. Our marriages will come to an end and on that day. How are smoke trees planted? Smoke trees are planted by floods. It's the flood that carries down the seeds, and some of them are planted by the birds as well. But they are planted mostly by rushing water that takes them along the way, and then they go down into the sand. The first thing that happens to it when it gets there and it germinates and begins to grow, it puts down a tap root. And the tap root goes all the way down until it finds water, and it connects with that water, and it's not until it connects with that living, life-living water, that life-giving water, that it begins to appear on the upside. Only the root goes down, and then the shoot starts coming up. And then you see the magnificence of the tree that's being sustained by that root. And so in our marriages, so that tap root goes down into the dark. It's in the dark. It's been planted by a flood. It's in the dirt. It's in the dark. Nobody else can see what's going on in there. It's hidden to everybody else. But it's not until that connection with the water of life comes that we're able to see the magnificence of that tree. So in our marriages, will we allow the storms to plant us and grow us, or will we let them, those storms, destroy us? Amen. That one tap root of the smoke tree that's connected to life-giving water down in the depth, down in the dirt, down in the darkness, is the one thing that holds that tree in place. When the storm comes, when the floods come that planted it, the storms that planted it come and want to destroy it because of their fury, this taproot is a vibrant, that taproot is the thing that keeps it in place. What is that taproot? That taproot is a vibrant, active, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. How do we tie that together? That's what it is. I'm proud to be the carrier of a master key at the church. Well, that's not my key, but that's. I am proud to carry that. I'm a proud carrier of the master key at the church, and it gives me access to everything, every door in that building. I can get into because I have the master key. It's one key. It's one thing. It's one key. And it gets us into everything. That taproot is the master key. That taproot is the master key. That vibrant, active, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ is what we have here. And Bill is going to move on with us about this master key.
Well done.
Well done.
Yeah, it's in crisis. Some of you are maybe in a season of crisis right now, and you need to identify that crisis as one of the greatest opportunities you will ever have to see God break through in the crisis and make you something else that he wants you to be. And those of you that are writers realize we just mixed a couple of metaphors, but they're great metaphors, the taproot and the master key. That, as Joy said, that taproot, it's a magnificent thing. It's a marvelous way that God designed that. We didn't know that until last night, that taproot, you never see anything above ground until the taproot finds water. It has something to sustain what will grow above ground. But that taproot is the master key to make that beauty. And you got to go see that. I also didn't know this till last night, that the beautiful blossoms you see right now, it's like the peak of the blooming season. I think this whole, most of the plant life in Southern California has been in what they call a super bloom this year. But it is, I've never seen it this gorgeous. But I didn't find out till last night, they're very fragrant too. I think I told you, did I tell you guys this? I walked into the smoke tree because I heard the buzzing of the bees in there.
Put it on your video.
And I thought, I hope they're not killer bees. But as I got closer, none of them were coming around me, and I videotaped it with my I filmed it with my phone because I wanted to record the tone of the buzz. And I didn't realize that it's also incredibly fragrant. So I'm going to go back and stick my nose in a smoke tree again.
You're all alone.
Yeah, yeah. But I want to read a couple of passages to you. They're very brief psalms in the book of Psalms, Psalm 127 and 128. And they're the family psalms in that small songbook of psalms that's in there in the middle of I think the most used book in all of the Bible is the Psalms. People love the music of Scripture. And listen to this. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, Psalm 127, this is Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It's vain for you to rise up early, sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. There's a translation that says he gives to his beloved even while they're sleeping. He's doing things for us when it's so far out of our control. And then behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them, Bethany and Shannon and Jeremy and Starlin, and the quiver continuing to fill in our household. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. And then Psalm 128, listen to this. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his way. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Here's where it becomes family again. Your wife shall be like a fruitful smoke tree, like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, and your children like olive plants all around your table. Does that describe the happy home or what? Table time, and the wife is fruitful, the kids are fruitful, all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children, and peace be upon Israel. And Father, I just pray the rest of the moments that we have here, that we would just know your presence, Lord. You'd speak to us personally and in a strong way what we each need to hear right here, right now, Lord, today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Struck me while I was thinking about this weeks and weeks and weeks ago. I started the thinking process a long time before.
You could have told me.
But how many of you want to eat a meal that has been prepared a week ago? Does anybody want to do that? No. So I try to prepare my meal right before. What are those meals? What's those military meals called? Yeah. Does anybody really want that? Well, I think that was like the chicken in the gluten-free meal last night. That I carved off a piece.
You have it confused with preparation time. You prepare ahead of time and then you cook it on the day.
I didn't know that. Did you know that? I didn't know that. But speaking of spiritual warfare, that chicken last night sitting right there,
don't go there,
just about dropped me. I cut it up and I accidentally got a gluten-free meal. I think I wanted a vegetarian meal, but I got the gluten-free meal. And I didn't cut up the chicken quite small enough, and I started choking. I've never been at a place where I thought, I need a doctor. to Heimlich me, but I was looking for Brandon across the
hall. Well, and you had Dr. Mike right next to you.
Yeah, I thought about this. I hurried out. At one point, I started just dumping water down to try to wash it down. It didn't wash down, but then the water started exploding back out, and I put up my napkin in front of my face. Some of you saw me walking out like that, and I was basically throwing up what was the water.
Thank you for sharing that.
Sweet.
I'm so excited.
You want to visualize that? Close your eyes and visualize that for a moment. But I got out thinking, oh, Lord, please, please. And I started heading to the restroom. I thought, no, what if I pass out in there and I hit my head and I die in the bathroom? And it just really struck me that what I shared with you this yesterday morning, that the enemy wants to destroy us. I don't know what anybody was thinking when I said that. It wasn't that we're in some sort of moral crisis in our marriage or anything like that. I just know the devil hates us. Mm-hmm. And I know that he hates you. He hates that you took this time to work on your marriage. Mm-hmm. He hates the decisions you've made since you've been here, about getting closer to Jesus and closer to one another and singing your husband's praise and singing your wife's praise. He hates that stuff, and he'll fight to the death if he must. But when I'm reading and I'm preparing as I was thinking ahead on this, and I was thinking about what this master key is really all about. And I'm thinking about the titles that we have for Jesus that we all love. We love the fact that Jesus is our Savior. We love the fact that He's our healer. What are some other great things that Jesus does for you? You got a title for that. He's your comforter. Hiding place. Lover of my soul. Refuge. Stronghold. You know what all these are about? They're about me. And God tells us He is that. But there's a new word, and the reason I read through, I'm not going to really be teaching point by point through these verses. Please go back and read them yourself. But there's another title in there that I don't know that it's our favorite title for Jesus or for God. But with all the other ones of healer and deliverer and redeemer and teacher and friend and comforter and miracle worker, and Savior and Messiah and Christ, superhero, Jesus is our superhero. The title that's introduced here is Lord. And the master key to marriage is making sure that Jesus is your master, that He's your Lord. The master key to, I think, any relationship, but the key relationship in our life, our marriage, is surrender under the Lordship of Jesus. And that doesn't seem to be as popular a notion anymore. Nobody wants to be, well, what is it if He's Lord? If He's master, what does that make me?
Servant.
Use the word that Paul seemed to love to describe himself. Bond slave. He said, I'm a slave of Jesus. Nobody wants to be identified as a slave these days. But Paul said, I'm gonna print that t-shirt. I'm gonna wear that t-shirt. I'm a slave of Jesus Christ. And I think that's where life really, really does come together. And it is the most common title for God and for Christ in the entire Bible, that He is our Lord. I dare you from now on, for the rest of your life, try to read the scripture without noticing the word Lord over and over and over and over again. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Colossians chapter 3 says, do everything unto the Lord. The Lordship of Jesus. And I think it's, along with being the most common, I think it's the most powerful, powerful title that Jesus has. He is our King. He's our Master. He's our Lord. That means that He's in control. When you see Lord in the Old Testament, it's the word Yahweh. Someone pronounced it Jehovah. And they're just both guesses at that same Hebrew word. And Yahweh just means He's the sovereign. He's in control. He's the master. When you see the word Lord in the New Testament, it's a Greek word kurios most often, and it means He's the supreme one in authority. And that shouldn't bother us to look at Jesus as a master, as a Lord. Why? Because He is, and qualify what kind of Lord He is. He's a good Lord. What kind of father? We sing that song. He's a good, good father. Father is also what? He's the Lord of the home, master of the home. Hopefully that father is a good, good father. And all that He is, you know, Jesus warned us when it comes to the master thing, you've got to decide, because you cannot serve what? You can't serve two masters. You can't be master and Jesus be master of your life. And a lot of times I see Christians that, and we see couples that get into conflict that seems insurmountable because somebody's trying to be the Lord who's not qualified to be the Lord. Only Jesus is qualified to be the Lord. And there's a master conflict over who's master in the home. And I think the reason I called this the master key is because I really do believe this is where it all comes together. And how can we talk about, you know, serving the Lord and Him being master over our homes without thinking about the profound moment where Joshua stood up at the end of the book of Joshua? What has happened in the book of Joshua? Children of Israel have done what? They're into the promised land. They've been in the promised land a long time at the end of Joshua. So it's been years of conquest. They've taken over. And at the end of that, listen to what Joshua said. He said, we fought for this land and we've taken it. And he stands up in front of millions of God's people and he says, as for me, say it with me, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What did he say right before that? Choose you this day who you will serve. He said, either the fathers from before on the other side of the river, the gods that your fathers served. I'm real interested on who those gods were. The fathers of Israel were serving on the other side of the river. He said, you choose. You're going to serve the gods from over there, or are you going to serve the God who delivered you and gave you this land? But as for me and as for my house, we will serve the Lord. And I'm going to challenge you as we wrap up here in a few minutes, just to make this time in our desert, think about Joshua and the children of Israel and Mrs. Joshua and all those families standing there hearing Joshua say to them, what will it be? Who will you serve? And there they were standing in their desert. Here we are standing in our desert today. And what an important thing at this point in our life. I loved what Peyton said about you're married to a different woman than you married right now. Even if you've been married for 46 years, far more of an anointed woman of God than even when I met her. But there was another quote I heard on this from a guy by the name of Jerry Cook, a pastor who's really impacted my life. He said to a congregation full of people, he said, if you've been married for a few years and you think you're married to the same woman, you're stupid. It's true. We've changed. And so what a great opportunity we're going to have in a moment to face one another and say, as for me and you, we will serve the Lord. And marry one another again. And come to that point of decision here in the sands of the Coachella Valley and say it again. But the master key, like Joy said with her key, the master key is the key that opens all doors. Think about this through the sessions we've had. It's where covenant begins. When Christ becomes your master. And it's in the context of that it's that master key that governs every conversation that we have. And all the conflict we go through. Where we learn how to fight right. Everybody say fight right. I didn't even write that down, but that's good. Learn how to fight right. How do you fight right? By fighting with each other, fighting for each other. Rather than against each other. Fight with each other, for each other, rather than against each other. Isn't it sad when lovers become enemies or treat one another as enemies and speak to one another? There's times when I've spoken words of joy that I would never speak to anybody else. Words that discouraged her and put a look of shock on her eyes. And treated her in such a way that she never deserved to be treated. I've never cussed at her. But I mean, I haven't spoken, at times there's, and I haven't spoken words that would build her up. And that's a whole nother study for another time. But the calling key that we talked about, it's discovered when you acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Master. And I'm going to tell you, it's an absolute guarantee. The grand plan for your life that we talked about in the handout that you had. God has an amazing plan for you guys that is just as magnificent as what He has for us. People look at preachers and think, oh, I can never serve God like them. I can never serve God like you. In the arena that He's put you in, the giftings He's given you, the anointing of His Spirit upon you, to touch lives and really change people's individual world, but the grand plan of our calling unfolds under the canopy of Jesus' Lordship and our surrender to it. We just read something a couple of days ago from this guy. I think it might have been E. Stanley Jones. He was a Baptist missionary, but he said he likes to get up every day and just say, "Good morning, Lord. What are you up to today? Can I be a part of it?" And just to start your day like that and say, "God, what are we doing today?" And you'll do something great for Jesus. So, brothers, I want to say something to you that maybe your wife would like to say to you. And you let me know if I'm right on this, okay?
Okay.
But, brothers, the greatest gift that you can give your bride is to develop a deep personal walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Have a vibrant, active,
send the taproot down.
Intimate relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And send that taproot down into Lordship and walk with Jesus and seek Jesus and daily surrender to Him, your Master. And sisters, can I say something to you? I know this is right because I'm a man. But sisters, the greatest gift you can give your husband is to develop that same thing, that same deep, personal walk with Jesus, intimate love for Him, with a devotional life that just is so full. And by the way, this is also your greatest legacy. Joy's told us all that we're going to die, and we're all going to die. We're going to leave it all behind. You can leave everything you had here behind. It'll become a legacy. Our kids can split the house four ways. The cars, they each get one tire. You know, however they want to divide that up. The savings accounts and investments and whatever. That all. But this is the treasure. This is our legacy. I pray this legacy will mean so much more to them than a house on Fountain Lane that gets split four ways. So it means so much more than an old Toyota. That they'll be able to look at a legacy that Joy and I were able to give them, a true inheritance of a godly example and an enduring passion for Jesus that we just refuse to ever let go of. That they'll be able to say, "Daddy and Mama love Jesus, and they loved each other, and they loved us, and they got up when they fell down." And I just encourage you, leave your kids what matters. Don't leave them just fool's gold. Don't leave them to think that when mom and daddy dies, we get the property. Don't leave them fool's gold. Leave them true treasure. Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Strange ministry lesson. Very strange ministry lesson. I wish I would have known this 45 years ago. That when it comes to helping people, and this people in my life, this is the most important people in my universe, is this people right here, this person. But, and this is just how many of you want to help people? Let me see those that want to help people. How many of you want to help the most important person in your life? Of course you do. You wouldn't be here. You can't help people if you spend all your time with people. I can't be the help that I need to be to Joy if I spend all my time with Joy. I have to spend time with Jesus alone. And she has to spend time with Jesus alone. We didn't sacrifice, we didn't give up our personal relationship with Jesus when we got married. We got a partner for life to do the work of God together with. And I know this sounds strange to people when you say that. We each must have an intimate walk with the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus. Time alone with Him in prayer and word and worship and laughter and surrender. I heard this, where did we hear this? I can't remember if it was Jerry Cook again, but he was asking a congregation, how long has it been? No, it was David Wilkerson. How long has it been since you just really enjoyed the Lord? Not just going in to get my devotions done because he's looking at me, and if I don't do my devotions, he's going to get me. How long has it been since you just really enjoyed being in the presence of Jesus alone? And of course, together. So when's the last time you, whether it's take a walk or go out in the backyard and sit down under your plum tree or whatever and just take some time alone to just enjoy the presence of God? And it was Jerry Cook that said it like this. He said, you show up for some time with the Lord And it's like you knock on the door. And he said, some of us seem to have this image that while you're standing outside, I'm here, Lord, for some time with you. You know, the security camera zooms in on you. Who is it? Who is it? No, it's Bill. Bill who? It's Bill Welsh. Sorry, you're not expected till tomorrow. And the Lord, the door swings wide open, and he says, I've been expecting this time. Lord says, I've been looking forward to this time with you. And husbands and wives, if you'll get that time under the Lordship of Jesus, just basking in his presence. And alone, by the way, means alone. Time alone with Jesus doesn't mean surfing with the guys or surfing the web, getting away. It doesn't mean, you know, ladies hanging out with the sisters at the beach and getting your nails done together and updating your social media.
That wouldn't be alone.
It just means alone with Jesus. So get alone with Jesus and then get alone together. And then when you walk together, it's going to be a powerful superhero pairing of two people who can do some great things for Jesus. I think the strongest, most fruitful marriages are made up of two strong, devoted lovers of Jesus who have their taproots entwined and deep down into the goodness of God. And I'm going to tell you this. I believe this is absolutely true. Every single major battle in my life as a Christian has been a battle over lordship. I really believe that. Every single significant battle has been over the question, will I let the Lord lord my life? Will I truly give him charge? Will I let him call the shots? Is he truly the master of my life? Now listen, spiritual warfare, hang with me for just another moment. That assault that some of you have experienced, even just getting here, from that evil, that picture that I shared with you, that evil bully, whether it's a demonic presence, the enemy of our souls himself, but that assault from that evil bully, that strong man, is carefully measured and aimed and launched at a strategic area of our life. And it'll come with something like this. Stop loving the Lord. Wasting your time. Is this even real? And they're measured. Stop trusting the Lord. Stop listening to the Lord. Stop dying to yourself. Stop taking up the cross. Stop following and obeying the Lord. Stop praising the Lord. Start grumbling. Does anybody ever give in to the grumbles? I'm going to leave it hang up there till somebody joins me, please. And you just, why is it this always like this? Why doesn't she? Why doesn't he? Start doing some grumbling. Start saying, can you believe there was that moment where one of Jesus' disciples said, no, Lord. How do you say no, Lord? That's not how you respond to a Lord. Can't say that enemy. And Joy and I went to see one of those Fathom events recently. Maybe some of you did too, that Saving Private Ryan, the replay of that and some other additional footage. And there was that sniper scene. Oh my goodness. That when I saw the guy in the tower that took out one of the other guys, I was like, that's exactly what the enemy does. He lays in wait, and he's a sniper. And he waits till we get vulnerable and then he takes his shot. But that enemy that of our souls, that sniper, wants to destroy you as much as he wants to destroy us. So to wrap up, unless the Lord is building the house. Unless the Lord is guarding. How's that happen? By giving him control. By getting up every day and saying, Jesus, you're Lord, I'm not. I hand in my master key. You're my master. I hand over my Lord badge. I'm not the Lord. I'll never be the Lord. But I give that to you. Unless the Lord is building the house and the Lord is guarding the home, unless we walk in, as in Psalm 128, it says, the fear of the Lord and the love of the Lord, we lose, and that evil bully sniper strong man picks us off again. And I must say, I am so tired of watching the devil pick people off. Good people like us, good people like you. I'm just so sick and tired of seeing him take someone down because they let their guard down. So let's stand our ground in the fortress of the Lord. Amen. Let's surrender to our great King. And let's rise up and say, God, this is yours. This is all yours. And we want what you have for us. And I guarantee that how you perceive God will determine how you receive the Lord and how you let him move in and take over. The Lord that you serve, and I'm going to stop with this. The Lord that you serve is a loving master. Everybody say this with me. Loving master, a mighty defender, a jealous God in good jealousy. And that, by the way, is what I mean. Anybody comes along to try to win this lady from me, the jealous man in me will rise up.
I'll run like Bethany did.
Take a different train. Switch trains. But there's a good jealousy that I will fight for her love than watch somebody else steal her away from me. That's the jealous God. Okay, He's a welcoming Lord. Say that. His arms wide open to you. He fights for you. Go ahead. He's doing battle for you. So continue. He longs to spend that time with you. So get that time. He has so many rooms filled with so much treasure to show you. Your master loves you so much. If you knew what he had planned for you, you would just be all over it. And with this, we're going to close. Okay, go ahead.
I just really felt like the Lord wanted me to share this about... I know it's not just because we're more mature and we're
She's
looking
mature,
toward, we have more history than future, but your marriage will come to an end. This marriage that you're doing together, it's going to have an end to it. So number one, enjoy the journey. Mm-hmm. Just make the choice to do what you know to do. How do you enjoy the journey? You make number one the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. You have that intimate, vibrant, and active relationship with Jesus Christ. I know, and they picked it all up. And because you have that kind of relationship, you will have eternal life. That eternal life will not come to an end. None of us will stand before the Lord and go, oh, well, I would have been so much better if he would have. I would have been so much better if she would have not done that. Or we all will stand before the Lord. Our marriages will be better. Be more fruitful, be more encouraging, be more something that somebody else wants to see in their life. It's going to be more if we commit our life wholly and completely and sincerely to Christ and then move from there.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I want to ask you guys to stand. I think there's more to, is there more to do? You have any more closing?
Yes. I want to. He's coming.
Okay, yeah. Well, come on up, Aaron. Get ready. And but would you guys stand and face one another? How many of you remember doing this at just about every retreat that couples retreat that we do? And I'm going to lead you in a very casual but serious set of vows to just say to one another. But look up here instead of looking at each other for a moment. This one master key opens all those doors. The Lordship of Jesus. Everything swings on the hinges of that door. When you walk through that door and you've relinquished the control of your life and you've said, Jesus, you're the Lord, you're the master, you'll do much better with our marriage than we could ever do without you. And I was talking to Connor as we were just, you know, coming in here, and he and Jackie are just under a year married, and I said, I am so proud of you guys for taking the time to invest in your marriage at this point. He said, well, we want to do it right to begin with. you can snap your fingers for them if you want, but guys, I really am, and I'm proud of all of you guys for doing that. You guys that have come back again and again and again. Let's look one another in the eyes, and Aaron's going to play some sweet little background instrumental. Did you know that? You just found that out right now. That's how I roll, I guess. But look each other in the eyes and say this together out loud. Both of you will say this together at the same time, okay? And then I'll repeat it as well again with joy. I am so thankful for you.
I am so thankful for you.
You're a gift from God to me.
You're a gift from God to me.
I couldn't be what he wants me to be without you.
I couldn't be what he wants me to be without you.
I'm thankful for all the gifts he's given you.
I'm thankful for all the gifts he's given you.
And the calling he's put upon us.
And the calling he's put upon us.
And today I stand here.
And today I stand here.
In this desert.
In this desert.
To commit myself to you again.
To commit myself to you again.
Under the lordship of Jesus Christ.
Under the lordship of Jesus Christ.
Along with you.
Along with you.
I invite him to be our Lord.
I invite him to be our Lord.
Our Master.
Our Master.
To take total control of us.
To take total control of us.
And make us what he wants us to be.
And make us what he wants us to be.
I will have you and hold you.
I will have you and hold you.
From this day forward.
From this day forward. Until death do
us part. In hard times. In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
And through whatever trials,
trials
or joys,
or joys
the Lord brings into our lives.
The Lord brings into our
You're
lives.
Safe with me.
You're safe with me.
Let's go serve Jesus together.
Let's go serve Jesus together.
Amen.
Amen.
Father, let your blessing be upon these households, these couples, these families, husbands and wives, Lord, and teach us what it really, really means to give up, surrender our rights, and let you be our Lord. You'll make so much better. You'll make something so much better out of our lives, Lord. You'll build treasure. And so, Father, we're just excited about what lies ahead for us. Show us what that is, Lord, as we walk it out one day at a time in Jesus' strong, strong name. And all the people said, amen. You may kiss your bride.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free my heart.